The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We are coming to you live from West Coast Baptist College this week. At the annual leadership conference, thousands of people from all over the country gathering here in the beautiful Antelope Valley, the high desert of Los Angeles County. And we are going to be talking to a lot of folks here in California this week on the program as we start the fight to take back our country and to restore traditional American values in this great nation. We've got a great show lined up for you, and I want to initially give you our telephone number if you'd like to call in and join the conversation today. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And last night, I had a chance to address members of the freshman class at West Coast Baptist College and spent a lot of time taking questions from students. And I was incredibly impressed with the knowledge, the political knowledge of these students. They are engaged in what's happening in the political process. And I was especially intrigued by their enthusiasm, not so much for Donald Trump, but for Ron DeSantis. Just about every student who asked a question was asking about Ron DeSantis and whether or not he planned to run for the White House. All of them believe that he would make a great presidential candidate. So we'll get into that a little bit later on as well. Meanwhile, the situation in Martha's Vineyard, ladies and gentlemen, the great invasion of 2022 will certainly go down in the annals of American history as one of the most traumatic moments in the nation, when rich white liberals were confronted with the fact that they might have brown neighbors. I know people were triggered. It was an incredibly traumatic moment for the people there in Martha's Vineyard when the 50 illegal aliens showed up looking for food and shelter. And by the way, to our knowledge, Barack Hussein Obama, who has that beautiful multimillion dollar 10-bedroom mansion right there in Martha's Vineyard, did not offer a single brown person refuge in his mansion. And neither did Oprah. Now, I don't know what to make of all of that, but that's just the reality of the situation. Regardless, the rich white liberals were so aggrieved that they summoned the military to come in and immediately repel the invading horde of illegals, and now they are residing at Joint Base Cape Cod. But the fallout from all of this continues. As a matter of fact, Ken Burns, the guy who did the Civil War documentaries for PBS, he says that the act of sending the illegals from Texas and Florida to Martha's Vineyard, he compared that, likened that to Nazi Germany. Take a listen, cut nine.
You can use a human life that is as valuable as yours or mine or Lynn's and to put it in a position of becoming a political pawn in somebody's authoritarian game. This is the coming straight out of the authoritarian playbook. This is what's so disturbing about DeSantis, is to use human beings, to weaponize human beings for a political purpose. It's like when somebody disagrees with him in Florida, like the Walt Disney Company, he punishes them.
So let me see if I understand Ken Burns correctly. Sending people to one of the wealthiest zip codes in America is now a form of punishment. Now, the illegals, they were interviewed by Telemundo, and the folks over at Telemundo actually told us that the illegals were very happy to go to Martha's Vineyard. They were having a great time. And why would they not want to go to Martha's Vineyard? So they could personally shake the hand of Barack Hussein Obama at his multi-million-dollar 10-bedroom mansion. Why would you not do something like that? But for some reason, the liberals seem to think that sending illegals to Martha's Vineyard is an act of just of heinous behavior. And now you have Ken Burns comparing it to Nazi Germany. By the way, Ted Cruz says this should not be the end of all of this. He says that every day we need to be sending more and more illegals to Martha's Vineyard. Cut 11.
To put it in perspective, Martha's Vineyard is a town. Its population is about 17,000. The median home price is over $1 million. Let's compare it to Del Rio. Del Rio is a wonderful town in Texas. It's down on the Rio Grande Valley. It has a population of between 30 and 35,000. In one single day at Del Rio, there were 15,000 illegal immigrants, mostly Haitians, crossing illegally in one day. As you know, I went down to the bridge and I videoed over 10,000 illegal immigrants under that bridge. Martha's Vineyard lost their mind with 50. And the little town of Del Rio and towns all up and down the Rio Grande Valley are dealing with hundreds, are dealing with thousands. Let me say, Sean, I commend Greg Abbott for sending the immigrants to these blue cities. I commend Ron DeSantis for doing so, and they need to do more. Tomorrow, Martha's Vineyard needs 100. The next day, they need 200. The next day, they need 1,000. D.C. says it's a crisis to get 6,000. They need 10,000. They need 100,000. They need 500,000, because Joe Biden has allowed 4.2 million people to come in illegally. And I know these rich billionaires say, well, gosh, you people just let them eat cake. Well, how about having the Obamas host these 50 people in their $12 million compound?
Wait a minute, they
in
got
Martha's
30
Vineyard.
Acres.
No, none of them.
They got 30 acres,
they
Senator.
They could literally set up, exactly.
Why? You could build
exactly.
Biden's.
You know, Maria Shriver sent a tweet complaining about this and saying that Abbott and DeSantis were heartless. And my response was, great, the Kennedys are offering to host these 50 illegal immigrants at their compound in Hyannisport. What utter and complete hypocrisy, and it shows that they simply don't care. This is all politics.
Yeah, well, let's of course it's all politics, and we've been talking about this radio program, and I think that's a great idea to send all of these illegals to the Kennedy compound at Hyannisport. They've got plenty of space over there, plenty of room. They've got plenty of room on the massive compound of Barack Hussein Obama. So why not just, as Senator Cruz said, let's continue to send busload after busload after busload of illegals. Because the people in the border states do not deserve to have to live in fear every single day of their life. They don't deserve that. They deserve better. And again, if Joe Biden is not going to secure the border, then every city in America, and especially the sanctuary cities, should be forced to suffer. Just like the people in Del Rio, just like the people in Eagle Pass. By the way, we have a story up on our website, and it's really tragic. There is a great barbecue joint called the Wagon Wheel in Eagle Pass. It's been owned by the same family for 25 years, the Price family. And it's one of those traditional Texas barbecue joints where you go in, you order your brisket by the pound, they put it on a big tray for you, you get the white bread, you get the pickles, and you have a good meal. No frills. Those people have had to sell their business because since February, they've been broken into five times. Five times. And the owners are saying the problem here is all of the illegal aliens coming in. Their barbecue joint was literally ransacked by the illegals coming in. And they say there's nobody to give them help. There's so many people coming across that border every single day. Now, you didn't see this story on the national news, except for maybe Fox. And you're not going to see this story on the national news because people like the Price family down in Eagle Pass, they don't matter to the Democrats. Keep in mind, the Democrats really don't care about anything other than power. That's what this is really all about. But nobody showed up to cover the crisis in Eagle Pass, where you have tens of thousands of illegals crossing the border, inundating a town that is actually smaller than Martha's Vineyard. And by the way, the folks at Martha's Vineyard, they say they can't accommodate these 50 people. Over the summer, their population swells to over 100,000. And you're telling me they can't find a place to put these illegals? Come on. No, the problem is rich white liberals get triggered when the brown people show up and they're not mowing the grass or they're not serving their meals or making their beds or cleaning their toilets. That's the real problem in Martha's Vineyard. The rich white liberals are racist. Nobody wants to talk about that. But again, the Democrats, they seem to believe the only people that deserve sanctuary in America are the illegal aliens and not the American barbecue pitmasters. So look, we're going to take a break here. Ted Cruz, do you agree with him that we need to actually ramp this up? And I hope the Republican leadership, I hope they're listening today. This cannot be a political stunt. We have got to inflict as much pain in these liberal cities as has been inflicted on the border cities. And when that happens on a consistent basis, you are going to see more people voting and supporting Republicans. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. You can also leave us a message on our social media platforms. We'll be right back.
We're all feeling the pain at the pump and at the grocery store, too. The market is plunging, and Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. But even worse, seniors are struggling to survive. It's not time to panic, but it is time to act. My friends at AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, will help you save money on things like cell phone plans, travel, and restaurants. But AMAC does much more than offer senior discounts. Your membership will support their nonprofit AMAC Action, which takes the challenges against our Constitution and the free market straight to Capitol Hill. Joining is easy. Just go to amac.us/starns to start saving today. 2.3 million Americans have already joined AMAC, and you should too. AMAC cares about you and America, so save money and support conservative causes. Go to amac.us/starns. It's only $16 per year, and great news, anyone can join. Go to amac.us/starns. That's amac.us/starns.
And welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, broadcasting from out on the West Coast, West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Hope you guys are doing well wherever you might be today. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. There is a crazy story on Fox News about the U.S. military. Folks are very upset over reports that many soldiers are having to survive on food stamps. And as a matter of fact, military leadership knows that a lot of these soldiers are not able to make ends meet based on whatever meager salary they're receiving from the military. And a lot of lawmakers are now very upset that soldiers, men and women who are putting their lives on the line so that we can be free, are now having to use food stamps just to feed their families. But beyond that, the idea that we've got to use food stamps to feed our fighting men and women, meanwhile, we're giving billions of dollars in student loan debt. We're just writing all of that off for these deadbeat college students. Congressman French Hill called the whole situation crazy. He says the Biden administration has gotten the National Defense Authorization Bill through the Senate. Not yet. One of the things they voted for is a pay increase and benefit increases. But what we've got instead is $560 billion of student loan debt that's going to be wiped off the books. So we're going above and beyond to take care of these deadbeat college kids who refuse to pay their loans, refuse to pay back what they owe. Meanwhile, you have these men and women in uniform that are barely able to make ends meet. Congresswoman Nancy Mace is the first female graduate of the Citadel, and she said the whole thing is insane. She says, quote, "We're leaving early this week because Democrats can't get it together on a spending bill to find money to pay to feed our troops. It's crazy." And why is that, ladies and gentlemen? Why is that? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. I know we have a lot of people around the country listening to this program, and you have a son or a daughter in the military. Maybe you are in the military. And I'm curious what you guys are doing to make ends meet. It's not like someone that's serving in the Army can go out and work a second a job at the Chick-fil-A drive-thru. You're just not able to do that. Congressman Dan Masur of Pennsylvania, a Republican, said the people that are in our military are protecting our country, putting their lives at risk. They're making great sacrifices. On the same note, if individuals who are in the armed services choose to go on the SNAP program, that's up to them. Well, what does that mean? I mean, some of these people are just not able to feed their families based on what the government is paying them. Seems to me that the members of the U.S. military should at least be making more money than members of Congress. Seems to me their job is just a little more important than figuring out how to appease the lobbyist up on K Street. That's all I'm saying here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, a lot of you are reaching out to us through our Shout-Out app, and I've been getting some messages on how do you get the app? Well, all you need to do is go to our live show blog, toddstearns.com. We have the link there for the app, and if you download it, there is a feature that will let you leave us a message. So if you're in a hurry, you're at work, and you can't go live with us on the radio, you can actually leave a verbal comment, much like you would leave a message, through our special shout-out app, which is available exclusively at toddstearns.com, and again, in our live show blog. All right, I want to play some audio here. Again, going back to Senator Ted Cruz, who is really fired up about what's happening at Martha's Vineyard. Cut number 12, please.
Right now, the biggest human trafficker on the face of the planet is Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. He has transported hundreds of thousands, millions of illegal aliens, populating them, now putting many of them in red states. He's happy to put them in red states where it's not the rich people's concerns. It's the little people's concerns. You know, all of the folks on Martha's Vineyard happily voted for Joe Biden. Well, they can live with the consequences of the lawless policies that right now the people of McAllen, the people of Laredo, the people of Eagle Pass, the people of Texas are feeling the price for this. And Biden still won't change. Instead, what does he do? He lies to the American people. He sends Karine Jean-Pierre out to claim nobody is crossing the border illegally. It's a flat-out lie. And all of the docile little sheep in the press room, they baa like sheep. And they ignore the fact that she's lying to the American people. The media needs to cover her lies, and this outrage needs to stop. Because you know what? These blue governors and mayors are right. It is a crisis, but it's not just a crisis when it's the millionaires who are inconvenienced.
And it's not just that. It's the amount of taxpayer money that's going to house and feed and clothe the illegals. Meanwhile, you have members of the U.S. military that are being forced to use food stamps to feed their kids. Is that right, ladies and gentlemen? I don't think that's right. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. We're broadcasting live from West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. Y'all have helped build MyPillow into an amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, our good friend, wants to give back exclusively to our listeners. The Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets are available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale for as low as $29.98 with our listener promo code. You better order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale and Giza Dream sheets are breathable, and they have a cool, crisp feel. And they come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So don't miss out on this incredible offer. There is a limited supply, so you better order right now. Call 1-800-986-3994 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 1-800-986-3994. Or you can go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS and use the promo code STARNS.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Great to have you with us today. We're broadcasting from California, West Coast Baptist College, beautiful campus here in the Antelope Valley, the high desert, and just great students out here. And we'll be telling you more about the leadership conference, and we've been meeting our listeners from all over America here at the conference. I want to go to the phones here real quick, 844-747-8868. John from Georgia, WDUN, our great affiliate there. John, I understand you want to weigh in on this military situation.
Yes, sir. I'm a retired major from the United States Air Force. And having young troops go out on food stamps, make ends meet, is not anything new. I used to counsel staff sergeants, E5s and below, who were married and possibly had a child, on what they could do, where they could get work after their shift in the Air Force to help make ends meet. And this is from 1980 to 1996 when I was doing that. So to say that this is something that's brand new is completely false.
Well, no, John, I'm with you on this, and I, for as long as I can remember, it's been a big issue. And why is it, I mean, as a veteran, why is it that we are not taking care, better care of our troops?
Well, it's fire and forget. There's an unofficial saying that we use with regard to the Veterans Administration and other places like that. If you're retired or you're separated, you're a second-class citizen to begin with. The politicians of the day, be they Democrat or Republican, I don't care. They talk the big game, and then they go back and just forget it.
Well, John, all I can say, it angers me that we're taking care of the illegal aliens, we're housing, feeding, clothing them, giving them the best health care known to mankind. We are forgiving all of this student loan debt, and we're leaving the military to hang out there and telling them, well, just go and you're going to be able to feed your family on the government cheese. That's just unacceptable in my book. John, got to run. Appreciate the call. If you're on hold, hang tight. 844-747-8868. I want to welcome here in our beautiful studios that we have set up here at West Coast Baptist College, a great American patriot. He is one of the few conservatives serving in the California State House, California Assemblyman Tom Lackey, representing the 36th District. Assemblyman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Todd. It's an honor to be here.
And we had a chance to have lunch yesterday. You're here, a part of this great conference they're doing at West Coast Baptist College. It impresses me that there are so many people here in this part of California that have decided we are going to stay, we are going to fight, we're not packing up the U-Haul just yet.
Well, I've spent the majority of my life here. I got my education outside of the state, but other than that and some missionary work, I don't intend to ever leave California. I love it. I love what it offers people, and the culture is moving in a direction that's very troublesome, though.
What is it? You mentioned that we were talking about that at lunch yesterday. Talk about where the state is heading right now and why you were so troubled.
Yeah, what is happening is there's been a chipping away at the Judeo-Christian values, in all truth. I mean, we're blurring the definition of gender, even. I mean, something so basic to the family structure, right? And the family has been under assault for some period of time, and that's the basic function of society. Is once the family starts to erode, we've really lost our vision.
When you look at the political structure here, I'm trying to figure out how it gets fixed. It just seems to me, based on how much people are paying in taxes here, the fact that you can't even water your grass, the rolling blackouts, it seems to me people would be running in droves to the Republican side of the aisle.
Well, because you have all sorts of influencers that are very deceptive and very, very skilled, in all truth. And I think it's unfortunate, and I think people are starting to realize now the crisis that we find ourselves in. And I think there's hope for those of us who share these values to be able to chip away, because it's not going to happen overnight, the shift. And because it didn't happen overnight that we got into this ugly situation, but we can chip back.
Looking back at the recall with Gavin Newsom and Larry Elder, were you surprised that Elder got as much support as he did?
I really wasn't that surprised. In all truth, I think that circumstances could have even been better. But I think that there's what they call out here in California the Trump factor that really motivates the other side. And that was unfortunate, and I think that that's what happened. And I think the governor was very vulnerable to be even recalled. But unfortunately, when Larry Elder stepped up, they saw that there was a real threat to leadership, and they showed up enough to beat him.
Tom Lackey is in the California Assembly. He's been serving for 8 years. Tom, we were also talking about faith, and you mentioned that you were a missionary for several years. BYU and Oregon. It was a pretty heinous thing that happened during that football game as Oregon fans chanted a very profane slur against people of the Mormon faith. I want to get your reaction to that.
Yeah, and as you do know that the Mormon faith, they are Christians. I know some people that's a debatable issue, but they believe that they are Christian because I happen to be one. And so I could tell you that Jesus is our focus, and we know that he is the only way to salvation. But however, that's why they're under attack, because they do represent a form of Christianity, and Judeo-Christian values are directly under assault. They see them as a threat, and the profane way that with which they attack them was so inexcusable that could you imagine if that crowd was shouting insults towards Black Lives Matter or some other organization, some other group?
Or Muslims.
Or Muslims, exactly right. It's just unfortunate that the visceral attacks that are happening within our society, the right versus left, are really dividing the country.
Or if they would have shouted, "What's your pronoun?" That would have, I mean, they would have shut down the university, defunded it. There would have been marches in the streets. President Biden would have come out and given some sort of a national address. But you guys are, you know, again, fair game.
Yeah.
That's it. It's fair game. But then just a couple of weeks prior to that, you had that crazy situation with the BYU volleyball team with the allegations of racist slurs. Of course, everybody went with that. And then it turned out not to be true. And you didn't get as much news coverage after it was investigated, and the video evidence clearly showed that no one in that crowd uttered a single racist word.
Yeah, that follow-up was a whisper at best. And those are the realities. You know, this whole woke culture is very intolerant. And they claim that they're promoting tolerance when, in fact, they're doing just the opposite.
Tom Lackey here from the 36th Assembly District in California. Tom, what is it going to take? What are the Republicans doing? What conversations are you guys having to move that ball forward, to start the effort to retake the state?
First of all, they need not to be ashamed. I mean, as scripturally profound as that term is, it's very, very true. And I think what's happened is because the control of the media has even intimidated a lot of those who are in leadership positions. And I think it's shameful. And we need to not be ashamed, and we need to stand up for what we know to be true. And we do believe it will resonate if we are smart and if we can appeal to the our young people in a way that captures their emotion.
Yeah, there's, and by the way, NBC News has a brand new poll out, and it's pretty remarkable. These are historic numbers from what we're being told. This is from NBC News polling, shows that the Republicans had the largest edge over Democrats ever in their polling history on the economy, on crime, and on immigration. And even among Hispanics, you're seeing a number of Hispanics embracing the Republican Party nationwide. Are you starting to see that here in California?
Yeah, I will tell you right now that public safety is not a partisan issue. And everybody wants to feel safe. And without safety, you really don't have liberty. And so that is really a winning issue. And it happens to be, I mean, I was a California Highway Patrolman for almost 30 years of my life. So I think I understand public safety. And I'm a vice chair of public safety committee. And it's more the offender safety committee than it is public safety committee. And we're working very diligently to kind of shift the paradigm.
And of course, San Francisco, it's very interesting, the dynamic there. They were able to recall their district attorney. A survey last week from the San Francisco Chronicle, a third of the city residents say they're ready to move. They're ready to abandon San Francisco.
Well, I think that Mr. Gascon better be watching his back, because I think that his time is very short as well. There were some organizational problems with the recall effort, but I think had that gone to a vote, he would have been gone too. So I think California will lead the country in this issue of shifting back towards real sensible reform.
And, of course, Gascon is the Los Angeles County district attorney.
Yeah, disastrous one.
No doubt about it. And I will say this, as I was driving up, coming in through some of those areas, downtown Los Angeles, it looked like I was in a third world country.
It's regrettable.
Tom, it's just unbelievable. Well, we really appreciate you spending some time hanging out with us today. And the whole country is really curious about what's happening out here in California. And I certainly do hope that Republicans are going to be able to make some headway in the midterms.
Yeah, my plea would be to anybody who's listening, if you're not a registered voter, I mean, we have less than 50% of people of Christian values that are even registered to vote. That's one reason why we're getting shellacked out here. And we really need everybody to please register and please show up and learn who the candidates are and, not be ashamed.
All right. Tom, it was really enjoyed getting to know you over lunch yesterday.
Enjoy meeting you, Todd. Your reputation is quite remarkable, and we appreciate you.
Well, you're kind to say that. Tom Lackey, ladies and gentlemen, California Assemblyman from the 36th District. Folks, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, right to the calls, we've got Winston-Salem on the line. We've got Richard in Maine. Hang tight, 844-747-8868. That's a toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com.
Todd, what amazes me is a township like Martha's Vineyard has the power to call out the National Guards to get this done that quick.
Right, so it's okay for them to be down there in Texas and wherever they're coming across the border at, but it's not okay for them to be anywhere else given the situation.
All right. That was Lori listening to us on our flagship station, KWAM in Memphis, and Ricky listening to us out in Arkansas. Those guys leaving us shout-outs on our news app. And you can, by the way, you can download that app over at toddstarnes.com. Well, let's get right back to the phones here, 844-747-8868. David in North Carolina listening to us on the great WSJS. Hey, David, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I'd like to discuss the soldiers getting food stamps for their pay. And I know, I appreciate you putting me on first line like that, because I am unpopular with your opinion, but here it goes. They took the job. They took the responsibility. They signed up for it. That's the pay they get. Now, you also have these guys that are in the service making money and living in $500,000 homes in my neighborhood. So there's good, there's bad with every job.
So, well, David, I don't know who's living in your neighborhood, and they may or may not have a spouse that's, you know, if you're making if you're living in a $500,000 house, for example, the average Army officer would be hauling in, you know, roughly about $83,000 a year. But if you're talking about someone who is enlisted, say a private in the Army, they're making $21,420 a year. That's what their pay is.
Yes, and with every job, you start off at the bottom and work your way up.
Well, there's not much wiggle room to work your way up. But again, I don't believe it's the the soldiers may be complaining about this, but I think the people that are raising the concerns here are lawmakers who are wondering why our fighting men and women should have to exist on government cheese, especially when we're footing the bill for all these illegal aliens, not to mention forgiving all of the student loan debt.
Well, that's true, but so are Walmart workers living off government assistance? Many jobs do not pay good.
Yeah, but Walmart's not funded by our tax dollars. Again, we're talking about the U.S. military. Let me ask you a question, David. So given the choice, would you rather forgive the student loan debt? Would you rather take care of the illegal aliens? Or would you rather use all that money to give our fighting men and women a pay raise?
D, none of the above.
Really? Why? And I'll add another one in there. Or would you rather take the billions of dollars we're sending to the Ukrainians and use that money to take care of our fighting men and women?
That's a totally different area, because that is a different country fighting for its freedom.
Well, what do you think we're doing here, David? We're fighting for our freedom.
No, they're doing their job.
And what is that? What is the job of the Army? What is the job of the military, David?
Well, really not much. They do a lot of training, but not actually go out and do any work. I mean, how many wars are we fighting right now?
Yeah, the reason why we're not fighting wars right now is because of Donald Trump. But, David, that's ludicrous. The fact of the matter is that we have the greatest fighting force on the planet so that we can be a free people.
And we also have the most expensive fighting force on the planet.
Well, the money's... And that may be the case, but the money is not going to the men and women who are putting their lives on the line, and I got a problem with that. David, got to run. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Sydney in Lancaster, California. Sydney, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd, morning. The last caller, David, got my blood pressure really high. I don't think he's ever served or done anything for the military, for our country. For him to say that the military is not doing anything, they're just doing their job, what has he done for our country? But let me go back to the main topic where I called. It is unfortunate that our fighting men and women, they have these food stamps, EBT, to support their families. You know, when I was active duty, I used the WIC program here in California, the Women, Infant, and Child program, you know, to help with the milk, juice, yogurt, fruits, and stuff like that when my daughters were younger. But at the same time, I worked as a delivery driver, even before these food delivery apps were a thing. You know, I worked part-time in the bowling alley, worked part-time as an insurance inspector. I had to do what I had to do to provide for my family. But I also understand that a lot of our soldiers and Marines, they deploy so much that they are not able to do what I did when I was serving.
Sydney, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. We're coming up on the top of the hour, but God bless you, and thank you for serving our great nation. Folks, David in North Carolina, WSJS, says, hey, look, you guys know what you're signing up for, and he doesn't believe you guys in the military deserve a pay raise. What say you? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're broadcasting all this week from the beautiful state of California, West Coast Baptist College, here for their annual leadership conference. And it's going to be a great week meeting so many of our incredible listeners from all over the country. And we're just having a good old time out here. And we'll be talking more about that with the president of West Coast Baptist College, Dr. Paul Chappell, in just a little while. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. If you'd like to call in, that is the number to call. And, of course, our website, toddstearns.com. We have some great stories for you to see there on the website. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, one of my favorite people in the world and one of the most brilliant minds that I know. He is a friend. He was incredibly good to me and helped me through my time at Fox News Channel, and he's an incredible author and the brother of L. Rushbo, David Limbaugh. David, good to have you back on the show.
Todd, thank you. Great to be here. How are you?
And I'm doing well, and normally I would be say greetings from downriver because you're up north of us on the Mississippi River, but yeah. You're in God's country.
Yes, sir, and we'll have to get together. It's not that far.
We're going to have to do that. We'll break ribs together. So
yeah.
There you go. David, I want to talk about how the family's doing in just a moment, but I'm so excited about this new book that you have out, and your columns are just so incredibly insightful. Your Twitter feed is just off the charts great. And now you've got this book, which is really the compilation of a series of books you've written, this one called The Resurrected Jesus, The Church in the New Testament. Tell us about the book.
Yeah, so this is very exciting for me because I co-wrote this with my daughter, Kristen, last name Bloom, married name Bloom. And the last book, Christian book I did was Jesus is Risen, which covered the book of Acts, which is the history of the early church, as you know, and the first six of the Apostle Paul's epistles. This one is the last seventh of Paul's epistles, the prison epistles, Colossians, Ephesians, Philemon, and Philippians, and the three pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. So we go through chapter and verse paraphrase or verbatim all those verses in those seven letters, the seven books of the Bible. We had commentary, at our own insights, but we've done something new in this book from what I did in previous books, and that is add prayers, which makes this kind of a commentary devotional combination. And Kristen has such a facility for prayer. She primarily authored the prayers, and we went back and forth on the text, and we contributed to each other's stuff. So it was a labor of love. It was really fun, and I just hope that this book will help the lay reader and others get closer to God.
David, I was reading an interview you did with our friends over at FoxNews.com, and I was really taken by surprise. You said that in writing this, you started writing Christian books because you knew what it was like to be a skeptic. Take us back to that point when you were a skeptic, and how did you become a believer?
Well, I always believed in God. It's kind of impossible for me to understand how you could think that matter could be formed from non-matter, much less life from immaterial objects. And so I always believed in God, but I just never really embraced the God of the Bible, much less received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And even though I was raised in a church, and I always knew that was the thing that I ought to believe, but I just had intellectual doubts. We call them intellectual doubts. They may have masked other things. Who knows? But I started reading apologetics early on. Josh McDowell, Paul Little, Norman Geisler. I just inhaled that stuff, and I just kept reading it and reading it. And with fascination, used to watch Charles Stanley's broadcast. Even when I wasn't really a Christian, I was drawn to it. I was not a rebel in the sense that I didn't want to be a Christian. I wanted to be. But I finally went to this Christian Businessmen's Prayer meeting, big meeting, in Cape. They had like 1,000 people there, maybe 500, I don't know. And they had asked you to leave sign a card if you wanted to learn more about Jesus Christ. So something nudged me, I would say the Holy Spirit, to sign that card. And even though I really didn't want to, but I did it. I mean, I didn't consciously want to. And so I signed it. We began a meeting in the Bible group with about three or four close friends, two of whom were the leaders of this study, and they introduced us to this booklet, which was called First Steps. And although it seems very rudimentary now, as much as I've studied at the time, I was so ignorant. I didn't know that Jesus was all over the Old Testament. I've since written a book about that he was prophesied with such particularity in the Old Testament, that the Bible was the inspired word of God, every bit of it, inspired, God-breathed, inerrant, and all the rest of it. And I finally I'm abbreviating this, but finally came to the conclusion, to the realization that the Bible really is the word of God. So I think I'm holding in my hands the word of God. That's a goosebump inspiring moment. And if you really think it's the word of God, you have a complete reverence for it, and it blows you away, and me away in this case, and I wanted to begin inhaling everything I could about the Bible and theology and doctrine. My problem was I was frustrated because I wanted to be conversant with it immediately with my impatient personality. I wanted to have a feel for the Bible, and so I just began inhaling all I could about it, and it took a while before I even felt nominally comfortable, marginally comfortable. But what these books really are is to put the readers in the position that I was in, assuming that they want a place to begin, that they'd love to start reading the Bible and knowing what they're reading, but they're just a little intimidated, don't know where to begin. And so it's geared for people like that, or new believers, or even the lay readers who want to go further, because we do a deep dive into theology in some cases, and hopefully it's written in an accessible way so it's not too deep.
And folks, we have a direct link so you can get yourself a copy of the book over on the live show blog, or you can also buy it wherever you get your books. David, I'm curious, as you're going through it and writing this, do you ever go back to a passage, and maybe you've read the passage of Scripture a million times before, and yet you come back to it and you glean something new from that passage of Scripture?
Yeah, so often. And it, to me, what it says is, it really is God's word. It's his living word. And that means different things to different people, I think. But to me, it means that it's active. It's alive. He's talking to you, us, individually, as we read it. And he meets us where we are. So we can read a passage one day. We're experiencing one. And he'll read, and we'll read the truth in that scripture. And then we'll, a year later, read that same scripture. We're in different circumstances, and it may hit us in a different way. These are timeless truths. They're delivered through stories of real people facing real hardships. It's not some book of abstract ideas, theological precepts. It is a book about real people, and it's an integrated book from start to finish, which tells God's love story for mankind, whom he created in his image. They fell. He knew he would have to send his son in human form to suffer the indignities of human existence and then die for our sins after persecution, torture, and then be bodily resurrected so that we could join him in bodily resurrection and live in eternal glory with him.
It's a life-changing, literally a life-changing book, and it becomes personal. And I love that you've woven in the devotions, the prayers, and I think that just enhances, you know, whatever you just read of the book, that's going to be enhanced in the prayers and you know, as you reflect on that. David, I want to go back to the fact that you wrote this book with your daughter, Kristen. I remember her journalism back at Fox, and she's just a brilliant writer. What was that experience like writing a book together?
No, it was just amazing. She was pregnant, Todd, for most of the period. I'd have to say maybe the whole period. Yeah, almost. And she was a good sport, and I didn't. You know, there were about 2 weeks there when I gave her some slack. Other than that, I was driving the whip. You know, we got to meet the deadline. I don't care if you're getting ready to give birth to my first grandchild. You get to work. And so, it was back and forth, email, text, you know, FaceTime. And I have this Logos Bible software, which is mind-blowing. I don't know if you have it. And you can, I have like an enormous 30,000 books. I've accumulated them over 15 years or whatever. And they're all searchable by verse and by topic. And so when I'm reading a verse, I literally go through the chapter and verse of these, every one of these books, seven letters, and I do a search called a passage guide. And I have at my fingertips at least 100 commentaries for every verse. And so I sift through those and read them and get what I think is the most insightful and easy to understand gem of those and weave it into the text and the commentary. We had early church fathers' insight, which, man, that was delightful. You know, people, it's another thing that affirms the biblical worldview. Human nature hasn't changed at all. These guys that were writing, Augustine and all these guys, and even earlier than him, in the first century, second century A.D., writing their insights about Scripture, and they're just as smart. Well, in this case, they're way smarter than we are. And they don't come across as some antiquated people in robes and hard to understand. It is just fascinating how human nature doesn't change and how timeless it is and how the same problem that they face the same problems we do, which is why it doesn't matter that the Bible was written that long ago, because the truths that it imparts are for all ages and all times and all people created in God's image.
And David, I still contend that the biggest problem facing our nation is truly a spiritual problem and not a political problem.
Todd, couldn't agree more. And as you know, the Apostle Paul in chapter 6 of Ephesians talks about the principalities behind the physical forces in the world, that the real powers at be are the spiritual ones. The prince of darkness rules the world. That's why Jesus said, contrary to what the left thinks, the left deifies unity, and so do some squishy establishment Republicans, when it ought to be about the advancement of principle. Not that compromise is always bad, except we have to note that 9 times out of 10, now 99 out of 100, there's compromise with political and secular leftists, and you move the football further down the left toward the leftward goalpost. But the point is, Jesus said, I came to divide mother and father, brother and sister. He didn't say I came to unify. course he wants to unify the church, and Paul was clear about that. But the reason he knew he came to divide is because he is truth. He doesn't represent truth. He doesn't talk about truth. He doesn't present truth. He is truth, personified. And so since the prince of darkness is in control of this world, it stands to reason that he's going to divide people, those who follow him from those who follow the satanic and demonic forces. And Todd, think about what we're witnessing today, the objective evil that is being perpetrated by the left. Think about the glorification of the murder of babies, the celebration of it, not just the reluctant permission of it, but the glorification of it and the demonization of those who oppose it, who oppose abortion up to the point of birth. And then think about the mutilation of children in furtherance of confusing gender against God's created order. Consider the breakdown in law and order in our cities and the fentanyl crossing our border, which is intentional. You cannot say it's incompetent. You
right.
can't say it's accidental. It's too much. They've opened the borders wide, even though they deny it. It and on and on and on.
David, we've got to take a quick break. Can you hold on for just a, can you
yes,
hold on
yes,
over
sir.
The break? All right, well,
yes,
folks,
sir.
We've got David Limbaugh. He and his daughter, Kristen Limbaugh Bloom, writing a great new book, The Resurrected Jesus, The Church in the New Testament. We've got a link to it on the live show blog. We've got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, David Limbaugh hanging out with us today. He and his daughter, Kristen Limbaugh Bloom, writing a great new book, The Resurrected Jesus, The Church of the New Testament. And, of course, David, a lot of our listeners loved Rush. And I think we talk about Rush at least once a week on this program. We love L. Rushbo. And I'm wondering how you guys are doing. It was a year in February since he went on to glory.
Yeah, it was tough. I don't deny it. The first long period of time, I was down and continue to be from time to time. We were very close. You know, we'd probably write 25 texts to each other back and forth. Nothing earth-shattering stuff, mundane stuff. What do you think of this TV show? That kind of thing. We talked about politics a lot, but not as much as you might think, because we already know by osmosis what we each think. So it's not like we got to talk about it too much. It's really hard to lose a sibling. It's very hard to lose parents, but it's a different thing. You're in the foxhole together. From the time I was born, I knew him. We were best friends, and he's 2 years older than me, and so than I guess I should say. And then, it's a little, there's a void. There's a hole in my heart there. I love the fact that his audience considers him family and me, to some extent, extended family. It's a warm feeling. They didn't just think that, okay, he's the guy that's standing in the breach. He's the guy that's helping give us a voice when the mainstream media is monolithically liberal. It's more than that. It was more than he was their mouthpiece for years. It was that he was in their homes 3 hours a day. They considered him family, literally family. You can't believe how intimate they considered themselves and how they say, invariably, he's the best friend I never met. So that's extremely gratifying to me to witness that, to experience it, to receive those expressions of warmth every day. And it's continuing. You look at my mentions column on Twitter, and just daily, I mean, it's how much they appreciate and miss Rush and wonder what he would think about this and all that stuff. So it's pretty cool.
It is cool, and we just love him, and you're right. He was a friend and a member of the family, and I think that's just, the power of Rush's voice and the power of radio, and that's why I think that radio is never going to go away. You cannot do that in any other form of broadcasting except for talk radio. And so, David, they're yelling at me because we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. We could talk for another hour. Congratulations on the new book. And I appreciate your friendship over the years.
Same here, Todd. You're a good friend. You're great at what you do. You're stalwart for Christ and for the United States of America and its freedoms. I really appreciate you, and I know your audience does. So take care. Keep fighting the good fight.
All right. Come on down to Memphis one of these days, David. We'll grab some ribs.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. David Limbaugh, everybody. The great book, The Resurrected Jesus, The Church of the New Testament. You can get a copy over at toddstearns.com. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Let's go to the phones here. Dan in North Carolina. He's got a bone to pick with David and Winston-Salem about the military. All right, Dan, what's going on here?
Thanks for taking my call. Is that where he was from? I didn't catch that. But I had to call the vent after my blood pressure went up about 100 points after he made the statement that the people in the military don't work unless they're at war.
Yeah, that's what he said, clearly unaware of all the work they do to prepare.
Yeah, he can spend a week in the home base, which you work 12 hours a day, minimum 10, quite often 12 or 14, 5 days a week, quite often 6-7 days a week. Deployments, and especially at sea, you're working 12 on, 12 off, 6 days a week, 7 days a week. I went down to Haiti in 94 for the operation down there. We worked 35 days straight, 12 on, 12 off. And don't get me started on recruiting duty for all the hours and days you put in there.
But again, I think he showed his true side there, Dan, and I appreciate him calling up. And, you know, we love going toe-to-toe with people who disagree with us. But when he said, well, giving all that money to Ukraine, that's a different story. I don't think it is. If we've got enough money to help out another country, we should be taking care of our own.
Well, I agree. You know, he actually proves what I believe, you know, for years, that 99% of the civilians that are non-veterans have no clue what the military does.
You know what, Dan? You're absolutely right about that. Hey, I want you to give us a call back one of these days. Appreciate you calling in. I do need to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We have from the great state of Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well, and as always, delighted to join you, Todd. Thank you.
And you know, Senator, it's interesting. We were talking about this issue of so many soldiers having to use food stamps. At least that's what the Pentagon is telling them. Well, if you can't make ends meet, go and get government cheese. And a lot of our listeners really got put off by that, and they feel like we ought to be doing a better job taking care of our military.
Well, indeed we should. And Senator Duckworth from Illinois and I joined hands on this issue 2 years ago, and addressing the food needs, making certain there is supplemental income to take care of the food needs for our troops. This is just inconceivable that a military spouse who is tending to a family by themselves, male or female, while the spouse is deployed, would be put in the position of having to go get food stamps to feed their family.
Senator, it's an issue that I hope the Republicans are able to address once you guys retake the House and the Senate, and maybe we can do something to help these brave men and women who are literally putting their lives on the line every day so that we can be free. I want to go to your Twitter feed. You've got so many huge issues we want to ask you about. And, of course, you point out something very interesting, that it took Democrats less than 48 hours to do something about the illegals who ended up in Martha's Vineyard. Meanwhile, you've got people along the border in those towns and communities that are suffering as a result of an action by the Biden administration.
You know what that is? It is astounding that it took 48 hours for the people in an elite community to say, no, get them out of our town. Well, they took them to a military base. But isn't it interesting? The people that do all of this virtue signaling, be kind, don't say this, don't do that, they were the first ones within 48 hours to say, no, we don't have the ability to care for these individuals. We don't have the resources. We don't have the infrastructure. It was just so interesting to me. Here you have one of the wealthiest communities in the country, and it took them 48 hours to say, bring in the buses. We need to be sure we move them to somewhere else. So then they were taken to barracks on the military base.
I mean, when you look at what's happening, we were telling a story earlier in the show about a second-generation barbecue place down in Eagles Pass, and they had to sell their business. They've been broken into so many times. They are literally living in fear of their lives. That is not right. That is not how Americans should have to live on American soil. And I'm so glad to see you and other lawmakers standing up and fighting for these good people.
Well, and indeed, we're going to continue that work.
And again, to that point, you were one of the first to point out that it was Joe Biden who was flying in the dark of night illegal aliens into Chattanooga, Tennessee, and dropping off the illegals. So this is not like something new, what's happening with Ron DeSantis and Governor Greg Abbott and Doug Ducey.
Right.
They're just following the lead of the Biden administration.
Well, you're right about that. And with all of these elite communities that want to say, we can't do this, or Chicago that says, let's book out a hotel and send them to the suburbs, I don't hear one single person say we're concerned for what these individuals have suffered as they have been under the thumb of the cartels. And they're not looking at the drugs, the humanitarian crisis. I mean, just the abuse that these individuals are subjected to, whether it's drugs or sex or whatever. And, you know, Todd, it is just frightening to think about these women and girls that think, oh, this is a way we can go to America, we can work out our fee once we get there, and what happens is they put a band on them. They're going to be tracked. The cartels are going to use them until they use them up. And I just find it to be such a humanitarian crisis and a travesty. And when you talk to our human trafficking agencies and sex trafficking agencies and those that are dealing with the issue of drugs, the border is a part of this issue, and closing that border is a big part of solving the problems that are around these issues.
Senator Marsha Blackburn is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Senator, one other thing I'd love for you to weigh in on. You have legislation that is going to target these criminals who are on the streets. I mean, just over the weekend, this crazy story about a guy in New York City armed with an axe that was destroying a McDonald's and terrorizing people. That guy is already back out on the streets. But you've got some legislation, Restoring Law and Order Act. What will that do?
Yes, and as we have worked with our Tennessee sheriffs and our law enforcement officers, and then following the atrocities that have just been heartbreaking in Memphis, what we decided was, Senator Hagerty and I said, you know, let's put a bill together. One of the provisions would require a GAO study on processing these rape kits. We know that for some reason, this processing seems to be going very slow. It should be a matter of days, not months, that rape kits are returned to local law enforcement, and we want to find out why and see how systemic this problem is. Another thing that we're looking at is repositioning some of this money that has been brought forward through COVID funding so that our local communities can hire more law enforcement officers, pay them in a more equitable manner, give them the resources that they need to fight crime in the streets, gangs, some of the drug trafficking crimes, these fentanyl overdoses. So it is making law enforcement a priority so that we, these local law enforcement entities, have what they need to keep our communities safe. We have heard from so many people about the problems that are there with the rising crime. And, you know, Todd, this is something we can do something about. And yes, indeed, we are going to continue to push on it.
Well, I think I could speak on behalf of all of my fellow Memphians by saying thank you for doing something, you and Senator Hagerty. It is just, it's really heartbreaking what's happening in Memphis. There's so many great people there, so many great businesses and entrepreneurs, and it's just not right that progressives have allowed the criminals to take charge. Senator, we're going to leave it there. Always great to hear from you, and we look forward to seeing you back in Memphis one of these days.
You got it. Take care. Bye-bye now.
All right, Senator Marsha Blackburn, everybody, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Hey, look, we've got to take a quick break. When we return, we're going to get to your calls. A lot of people are fired up over one of our previous callers who said that the military members do not deserve a pay raise. And says they really don't do anything except fighting wars. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. I want to tell you about our good friend Mike Lindell, under attack by the FBI and the deep state, and we are doing our part to support Mike by promoting MyPillow. MyPillow.com/Starnes is our website. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And Mike is offering our listeners some great deals, incredible discounts. For example, the beautiful Giza Dream Bed Sheets, $29.98, a great offer only available at MyPillow.com/Starnes. If you want to get the MyPillow slippers, MyPillow mattresses, what about the towel set, or even the MyPillows as low as $19.88, it is a flash sale right now, MyPillow.com/Starnes. All right, University of Massachusetts, they're like mocking Liberty University. They've got they're playing Liberty coming up. And UMass, the game is in October. And so now they're announcing that's going to be Pride Night. So they're mocking the Christians at Liberty University with Pride Night. Brilliant. Look, can I just ask you a question here? I just asked, I don't mean to stir anything up here. I thought Pride Month was in June. Have the alphabet activists, like, taken over the entire calendar? Is that what we're looking at here? Every day is Pride Day in America? Anyway, back to UMass. They got their clocks cleaned over the weekend by Toledo. Not exactly a Division I powerhouse. Not a BCS championship team there. 55-10 was the score. UMass 1-2. I don't think that's anything to be proud about. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Pastor Bob in Georgia, WDUN. All right, Pastor, what's on your mind?
Hello, this is Pastor Bob from Beaufort, the talk station. I really appreciate what you're doing. Years ago, I lived in Washington, D.C., and we were having the people say the policemen were getting paid too much. And they put a bumper sticker out. It says, next time you're in trouble, call a hippie. I sat next to a 23-year-old veteran. He served for 23 years in the Army. If I see a guy with any kind of military hat on or a uniform, the first thing I say is, thank you for taking care of our country. They're not getting paid nearly enough. And back to your alphabet, LBGT. Stands for Liberty, Guns, Bibles, Trump, and Barbecue.
I love the way you think, Pastor Bob. All right, Mike.
Somehow we got to get these people out to vote in November.
We've got to get out the vote. And you heard that from the assemblyman from California. We've got to get out the vote. If every Christian in America would go and vote on Election Day, we would solve just about every problem, lickety-split, in one election cycle. Pastor Bob, appreciate your call. Thank you for that. Let's go to Bill in Georgia. WDUN wants to weigh in on the military. All right, Bill, what say you?
Uh, I'm a longtime listener, Todd. Can you hear me okay?
Bill, you're coming in just fine.
Okay, very good. I'm with WDUN in Jefferson, Georgia. I think that we missed the boat a little bit on this thing about the military not being paid enough. I think we have a problem with expectations in our military. And the reason I say that is you have to look at what the pay right now is for the military and all the benefits that they receive along with that pay and consider the whole package. Now, should I go on, Todd?
Well, I'm all ears here, Bill. I'm okay. Just looking, though. The starting pay is $21,420 a year. That's not a lot of money.
Right. That's correct, Todd. And what I think people forget is that originally the military was designed to have the lower-ranking enlisted men not be married and not have children because we didn't want them to go away to war and make widows and orphans. So, therefore, the people that have to be paid are not the lower-ranking enlisted men. It's the men that are career men. And I can go on with that and explain something else. A career
but
man
Bill, even the career, even the officers, I mean, the officers are being paid, but it's not really exorbitant. It's so, I mean, again, if, and I don't know military history, but I, as even going back to the early days of the Vietnam War, there were a lot of men who had families. I'm thinking about the We Were Soldiers or the We Were Soldiers movie. Where that was a big problem, you had all of these soldiers getting killed, and there weren't enough chaplains to go around and notify the families of the deceased.
Well, that is a difficult situation, and I sympathize with that. I'm a Vietnam veteran of 2 years, and when I started in the military in 1969, my first paycheck was $99. Nowadays, they make quite a bit more than that. I would have never thought of being able to take my pay and go buy a new car. The expectations are the problem, Todd. We're expecting these fellas to be in there and get paid like they have many years of experience and like a real tradesman. And it takes them several years to learn that. Then once they learn that and they're about an E4, they get paid about $2,700 a month then. And if they have a family, all their medical care is paid for, and they have a housing subsidy, and they have privileges at a PX. Now, that's pretty good pay for a man that's in his mid-20s who can retire in 15 years on a full pension.
So you're okay with the pay where it is?
Yes, sir. I think it's very fair, and I think our VA has been badly maligned from my experience with VA. I have only had good experiences. The only problem I see with VA is they can't keep doctors because they don't pay the doctors enough in VA. They're not competitive with their doctors, so you never know what doctor you're going to get. But I think our pay in the military...
Well, should, wait a second. So we've got to pay the doctors in the VA more. Is that what you're saying? I'm confused here.
Sure. That's right. We have a problem with retention of good doctors.
All right. I got you. And by the way, if you think that's the problem with the doctors, that's the problem with the military, too. So if you're going to take care of the pay for the doctors, seems to me you would want to also take care of the pay for the rank and file. Look, we've got to run, Bill. Appreciate your call. Folks, Bill says they're getting paid enough. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 844-747-8868. We're broadcasting live from West Coast Baptist College in beautiful California. We'll be right back, America.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's it.
Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're broadcasting this week on the road. They, believe it or not, they let me into California. I don't know how that happened. But we're broadcasting from West Coast Baptist College, beautiful Antelope Valley. That's the high desert area of northern Los Angeles County. And we're just having a great time. The college and the church's annual leadership conference is underway. thousands of people are here from all over America. And Grace Baker, I've already run into several people, and they've asked two questions. Is Grace Baker with you, and what about Caleb Park?
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I would love sometime to come out to California. I've actually never been.
Oh, you would love it out here. It's very nice. So get this. It was so last week there were it was like 180 degrees here in California.
Oh my.
And then so I don't know what happened. It was kind of like when we had our 75th anniversary party. It was like 110 degrees. The temperature, because we were going to be in that beautiful rooftop, the temperature on the day of the party dropped down to like 75 or 80 degrees. And the same thing happened out here. It was cold this morning.
A blessing from the Lord.
It, verily, verily. Well said, Grace Baker. All right, we'll get you out. We'll get you to California one of these days.
I will pack my bags in a jiffy.
All right, very good. Merlot, I'm not sure we can get the dog out here.
Not sure I can get her through airport security. She's kind of hard to hide.
By the way, if you could send somebody over to the airport to make sure my car is still there,
oh,
I'd appreciate it. So,
okay.
All right. Thanks, Grace. Anyway, we're very excited to have with us a great guest, a very dear friend of mine. He's the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College, Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell.
Todd, great to be with you, and it's always good to have you at the conference.
You guys always keep us fed and watered out here.
We work hard at it. We want to reward you for coming out to California. We want you to have some fringe benefits, as we know it's difficult for you to come into this liberal state.
Well, yes, but I will say this, that I was really encouraged. Last night I was speaking with the college freshmen, a great class of students, and I was really impressed with how engaged they are on the big political and cultural issues of the day.
Well, most of these young people have been trained and raised with a biblical worldview, and so they're able to take their understanding of the scriptures and the paradigm they have of current events comes from that view.
When you do look at what's happening in the culture, we've seen so many churches that have disengaged. And we heard this from the assemblyman early on, Assemblyman Lackey, who was on the first hour of the show. He said if only Christians would mobilize and get out and vote their values, then that would really change a lot of things, not just here in California, but around the nation. What do you say to that?
Some Christians misinterpret the biblical admonitions to love your enemy and some of these things with a passivity that causes them to step back and not want to engage. There is a way to speak the truth in love. There is a way to take a stand and still keep a spirit towards people that is Christ-like. And that's something that our students are finding the balance of and acting upon.
Well, again, it's really impressive just to see the intellect knowing. And this has been a fascinating thing for us to discover over the past couple of months. We've noticed that a lot of Generation Zers are really attracted to Ron DeSantis. And so that'll be interesting to see how all of that plays out. But again, that's the key, I think, is letting people of faith know it's okay to engage in the political process.
Absolutely. And I think they see something in DeSantis from the standpoint of not just convictions or policy, but they see him implementing those effectively in his state. So that's governance. And here in California, we have a governor who, in the midst of the inflation, just less than a month ago, one of his ways to fight inflation was to stop taxing the marijuana industry. And so here's a state that is so filled with a lack of understanding of how to handle their problems that they cannot connect the dots between marijuana use and homelessness. And so we have 10 times the illegal grows since they legalized marijuana. And yet now we're going to incentivize more and more and more of it with no taxes being paid. That's the type of man that wants to perhaps run for the United States presidency. And those are the kinds of people that support him.
It fascinated me. We were driving around Lancaster, which is a very large city. What, about 250,000 people live here?
Yes.
So it's a very large city. We're in the desert. It's beautiful, but it's the desert. And yet there are a lot of homeless people. And someone was explaining to me that they believe that they're actually moving, relocating the homeless from Los Angeles up to Lancaster in the desert. Is that true?
That's been a problem for probably 20 years. We're the last stop in northern L.A. County, and we've been historically a conservative community The folks in L.A. have been giving vouchers to people and saying, take the train to the last stop. And the county built a huge homeless center here for these people. But Todd, so many of them, because of drugs, and the gateway drug is marijuana, and many of them, they're so strung out, they don't want to stay in the homeless shelter. They prefer to stay outside under these tarps. And if you go downtown to L.A., it's every overpass. They're living under the overpasses, living in the parks. And this is, if you want it nationwide, vote for Newsom.
It's shocking. Parts of Los Angeles, and I've been coming here for, 20-plus years, and you felt comfortable walking around downtown Los Angeles years ago. Not so much now, because it really does look like some sort of a refugee camp from a third-world country.
Right. No, the policies have been very tolerant towards drugs, towards trespassing, towards prostitution. The DA in LA County is not prosecuting laws that are on the books. And so there is a willfulness on the part of the criminal element to just do whatever they want to do, live wherever they want to live. And I'm amazed that it continues to be a problem.
Pastor Paul Chappell joins us, the pastor at Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College. When you look at the mission of West Coast, it's not just California-centric. You guys are making an impact nationwide, really globally, but especially here in the United States. What is the mission of West Coast Baptist College?
Well, the mission is really simple. It is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the fact is, Todd, and I'll mention this tonight in the opening message, that our nation is living in a difficult time. We're here voicing some conservative views. The other side likes to bring out the sins of our founding fathers, and they like to have their rhetoric against conservatism. But what I want to speak about tonight is just simply the fact that we're all sinners. All of us are sinners, left and right. It doesn't matter. Long before Karl Marx, the Bible spoke of alienation. The Bible says that we were aliens from Christ and from the Commonwealth of Israel, and we were without hope, without God in this world. And so what we're trying to teach the young people is that this is a fallen human race, that Jesus Christ shed his blood to redeem us and to bring us into fellowship with the Father, and to go out and love people, even if they are the homeless, even if they are smoking marijuana. We don't care where they're at. We want to help them where they are. We dislike the policies that allow those lifestyles to proliferate, but we want to teach this group of young people to love the world where the world's at and to bring them to Christ. And that's what it's all about. They're all around the world, as you know, doing this gospel work.
And most of them are studying to become ministers. Is that right? Pastors.
They are. Most are pastors. The young ladies predominantly are in the educational fields. They're in music fields. They're in areas that are church ministries related. So some of them have tech talents and so forth. But it's all about ministry. And every student is majoring in the Bible because we believe that's where the answer is found.
I think that's just tremendous. And no government funding.
No, we are accredited, but we've never received government funds. And there have already been a few attempts in Sacramento to mandate certain lifestyle issues on the campuses of Christian colleges, certain curricula. So without taking their money, it puts us in a much stronger legal position to contend for our faith.
And because of that, it becomes that much more important for folks in our listening audience to support schools like West Coast Baptist College. I mean, you guys are doing very important work here. And folks, if folks would like to contribute or get information on how they can support the ministries and the efforts here, what do they need to do?
They can visit wcbc.edu. West Coast Baptist College website, wcbc.edu, and there's a giving portal there. We appreciate people who help us. There's several hundred that send something in every year. We don't have a full-time development department. We're dependent upon just moments like this where God might touch someone's heart and say, you know what, I'm going to help a college in California that's standing for Jesus, that's standing for the right, and we appreciate that very much.
I think that's wonderful. How many students do you guys have this semester?
We have about 800 students. We've got around 500 right now on campus, about 300 online, and so it's a good, vibrant student body.
I love that. Well, Dr. Chappell, we've got to take a break here. We really appreciate you coming on the show, and thanks for the great hospitality, the great food, and the free coffee.
Anytime, Todd. We're your watering hole on the West Coast.
Speaking of that, by the way, these tumbleweeds, they're out of control.
There's some tumbleweeds large enough to swallow a Volkswagen car.
It's unbelievable. They're not as docile as you see in the Roadrunner cartoons. I mean, they're very aggressive.
They are, especially when they know a conservative commentator's on the road.
No doubt about it. Leftist. Oh, my goodness. All right, Dr. Paul Chappell, everybody, here on the program. We've got to take a break. When we come back, we're going directly to the phones, full line, so we're going to get to your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, so Gavin Newsom, Governor Hairgel, is now calling the plane loads of illegals to Martha's Vineyard morally reprehensible. How dare you send people to live with the rich white liberals? Who do you people think you are? It says they're morally reprehensible. Well, here's a little nugget about Gavin Newsom. And if you're ever in an argument with one of these leftists, feel free to use this information. But back when Gavin Newsom was mayor of San Francisco, he developed a program called Homeward Bound. Now, that sounds like a very lovely, family-friendly, holiday sort of venture. But in fact, it was morally reprehensible, to borrow a phrase from the governor. Governor Hairgel, back when he was a mayor, literally bust thousands of homeless people out of San Francisco, literally giving them one-way tickets on Greyhound buses. So if the governor wants to have this this conversation, this debate, maybe we need to start talking about what he did when he was mayor of San Francisco. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to the phones here. Dave in North Carolina, the talk station, wants to weigh in on the military. Dave, what's up?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I was listening to the guy earlier. I walked in on the end of it, and I asked Grace, and he said that he was, in fact, a veteran. Now, I don't know how long, what branch, or anything else, and when it comes down to pay and stuff, pay grades are pay grades, E1 through E9, and then the officer grades, you know, O1 through. So here's the thing. If you're a corporal in the Army or the Marine Corps, or you're, you know, an E4 in the Air Force, and they love to go by pay grades. They don't like rank because that's just too military for them. And, you know, the pay grade is the same. Different branches have different standards of living and different entitlements. You know, an Air Force, I'm right outside the main gate of Cherry Point right now. And you get a Marine flies in here in a C-130, and they're going to be overnight, and then they're leaving. They got to work on the airplane. I've seen Marines do that. They work on the plane. Sometimes they'll stretch out on those extremely uncomfortable troop seats, maybe with a poncho liner or a sleeping bag, to get a nap. And, you know, they get up and get going. The pilots actually, you know, they'll get some rest. You get the Air Force guys flying in here, totally different. It's a whole different standard. They need, you know, six people, so they need 3 15 passenger vans. They got to go out to the Marriott, you know, they get extra per diem. They've got to go, you know, they can't eat at the chow hall. They got to go somewhere nice to eat. So when this guy starts talking all this stuff, I don't know what his background is, but it all depends. Here's the thing. Out of the entire community of military people we have right now, at no one time does more than 1% of the military serve on active duty. They're all volunteers. Now, I'm on and off military installations all the time, and I deal directly with these people. And I'll tell you, we got people on active duty right now who shouldn't be. But that's going to be the case in any career field, in any occupation. You know, there's doctors who shouldn't be doctors. There's congressmen who, well, let's get rid of all of them. There's just, you know, everywhere you go, if you go out to the road workers, you see three or four guys working hard and one guy leaning on a shovel. Everywhere.
Well,
you go,
look, I mean, look, here's the point, though. But again, the point goes back to this, that these guys and gals are making anywhere. They're not making anywhere near enough money to start a family, to survive. I mean, you're making $21,000 a year. People working at McDonald's are making more money than that. So we've got to get this figured out. And if we can pay our people in Congress, if we can pay them over $100,000 a year, and I'm not saying we've got to pay all these soldiers $100,000 a year starting pay, but it seems to me if you're willing to put your life on the line for our country, then that's probably a little more deserving than what it takes to work at Arby's or Burger King. That's all I'm trying to say. Dave, appreciate the call. All right, appreciate the call. Let's go to Mark in the Villages, America's friendliest hometown. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hello, young man. Maybe you can convert my brother over. He's in California, pretty active in the college communities out there. I'll have to tell you about that one day. So after sleazeball slickhead Newsom gets a shell shocking by Ron DeSantis here in Florida about the immigrants in Martha's Vineyard, Newsom's like, I'm going to show you, and gives $100,000 to Ron DeSantis' opponent running for governor, Chris. In return, slickhead Newsom's in-laws have been given contributions to DeSantis' PAC, and it just shows how much family trust Newsom has. Todd, you can't make this crap up. There's a distinct difference between DeSantis and Slickhead. Millions love DeSantis. On the other hand, millions can't stand Newsom. Case in point, they gathered over 1 million signatures to have him removed from office. What's that tell you?
Well, exactly. And I was talking to some folks around here in California over the past couple of days. Everybody thinks the fix was in there. They really do believe they had the numbers to recall this guy. So, all right, hey, I love it. We're gonna adopt the term slickhead. I love it, slickhead Newsom. Mark, we give you all the credit for that one. Mark from the Villages, appreciate the call. Folks, we got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. By the way, you want to head over right now to ToddStearns.com. We have so many great things for you available in our store. Books, happy to sign those, T-shirts, ball caps, you name it, at ToddStearns.com. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Are the oldest president ever.
Pretty good shape, huh?
Which leads to my next question. You are more aware of this than anyone. Some people ask whether you are fit for the job. And when you hear that, I wonder what you think.
Watch me. And maybe, honest to God, that's all I think. Watch me. If you think I don't have the energy level or the mental acuity, then you know, that's one thing. It's another thing of just watching and, you know, keep my schedule, do what I'm doing. I think that, I don't, when I sit down with our NATO allies and keep them together, I don't have them saying, wait a minute, how old are you? What did you say? You know, I mean, it's a matter of, you know, that old expression, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. I mean, I respect the fact that people would say, you know, you're old. But I think it relates to how much energy you have and whether or not the job you're doing is one consistent with what any person of any age would be able to do.
How would you say your mental focus is?
Oh, it's focused. I have trouble even saying to myself, my own head, the number of years. I no more think of myself as being as old as I am than fly. I mean, it's just not, I haven't observed anything in terms of, there's not things I don't do now that I did before, whether it's physical or mental or anything else.
All right, there you have it. The President of the United States saying he has the mental focus and capacity of a fly. I would have gone with gnat, but there you go. All right. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. We are broadcasting all this week from West Coast Baptist College at their annual Spiritual Leadership Conference. Thousands of people are here from all over America. It's been so great to meet so many of our wonderful, wonderful listeners over the past couple of days, and we'll be here all week. I do want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, the founder of Timothy Plan, Art Alley, now he is... he's RVing across America. Art, where are you now?
Not across America, just down from the headwaters of the Mississippi to New Orleans. We are... Bonnie, where are we? We're in St. Louis. I'm having a hard time keeping track. But we're headed toward Memphis in a couple of days.
I love it. And Art, I'm doing my best to get back there. You know, I'm out here on the West Coast, but if I can't make it, the staff has orders to treat you and Miss Bonnie like a king when you arrive.
Oh, well, then we sure have to follow up on that.
Art, I'm curious, what is that? What is that like, though? I mean, you're driving the RV down the Mississippi River, or at least trailing the Mississippi River. What are you got? Are you meeting people? Having conversations with folks?
Oh yeah, Todd. It is not us lonesome dubbing it. This is an organized guided tour by a company called Fantasy RV Tours. They set the whole thing up. All we do is show up and follow the bouncing ball. But it's been great. You know, on this trip, the way it works, Todd, I drive, Bonnie screams. You know, she's still very nervous in that passenger seat.
Art, I'm not sure I would have shared that on national radio, but...
Oh, no, it's true. They might as well know the truth.
Oh, goodness. Art, we just, well, first of all, safe travels out there. And there are a couple of stories we wanted to touch base with you on. And one of those happens to be the rising crime rate in America and how it's beginning to impact a lot of stores, not just mom and pop stores. We were talking about this barbecue joint down on the Texas border, and they've been hit five times since February, so they've sold their business. Starbucks announced back in July they were shutting down 16 stores. I mean, this really is going to be having an impact on not only people, the bottom line of people's bank accounts, but also these business owners.
You bet. You know, the thing that has evaporated in America, it seems, is common sense. When you make it wide open for anything goes, criminals with no penalties for whatever they do, what in the world do people think is going to happen? You know, you could really get frustrated and discouraged. Todd, I know you and I sometimes do. But I am encouraged because America is still America. Mainstream America, not mainstream media, mainstream America still loves their freedom. They appreciate law and order. I mean, how would you like to be a police officer in this environment? Man, you take your life into your hands, and if you try to stop a bad guy, you become the bad guy in the way some of these cities are operating. It is no wonder. Now, I don't feel too bad about Starbucks because we won't own their company. But, you know, these businesses, I mean, what a tragedy it is, and so unnecessary.
It is, and it's concerning because that seems to me to be a fixable problem right away, just getting control of crime in America. But the
we
broader,
can fix this, Todd, in a weekend.
But the broader issue is what's coming, and I'm not sure that we're going to be able to stop this. The chairman of FedEx, and this, I'm glad this got a lot of attention, but the chairman of FedEx warning people that we've got some big problems coming down the pipeline. They are announcing cuts. They're shutting down a lot of FedEx stores, offices, preparing for what's about to happen. Are you following those developments as you're traveling through the heartland?
Well, we're a little bit insulated from that, Todd, but, I mean, what in the world would people expect to happen? It is incredible, not only not safe, But the price that the average American is paying from this administration and all of their policies with inflation, you know, and we've got another hike coming in interest rates, they are absolutely, you know, it's not politically correct to say this, but they're trying to destroy America and turn us into a third world country. However, I believe, and your listeners know this to be true, Broadstream America is waking up and we're saying enough is enough. We're showing up. We have these pastor boot camps. We trained over 1,200 Patriot pastors now to equip their congregations on the biblical principles of politics. You cannot separate the two. That's how they try to win. You know, talk about anything but religion and politics. What in the world runs your life but religion and politics? And I don't mean religion, because man-made religion is very faulty. But, you know, people ask me what's wrong in America, and I'm, as you well know, frequently wrong but never in doubt. But what's wrong in America more than political is spiritual. We have a spiritual problem. This country was founded on Christian principles, which work only every time. And we have gotten sloppy, lazy, pursuing the American dream of unlimited prosperity and not paid attention to what's going on. We're starting to, and that does encourage me, because America is still pretty doggone strong across from sea to shining sea.
TimothyPlan.com, ladies and gentlemen, is the website. And if you want to begin investing with integrity, that's the starting point. TimothyPlan.com. I utilize their great services, and you should as well. Art, we're going to have to leave it there. Safe travels as you make your way down to Memphis.
Okay, man. You too. Have a good time out there on the coast.
All right. Art Alley, everybody, the founder of the Timothy Plan. Invest with integrity. Folks, it is time for us to start putting our money into companies that are going to be supporting our values. And those are important things for us to do, especially with the economy going in the direction it's currently going. Again, TimothyPlan.com. Write that down and just go and check it out. They've got a great website, all sorts of great information for you there at TimothyPlan.com. All right, we do have to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. You just heard Art Alley on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. By the way, Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. They are a proud partner of the Todd Stearns radio program, and they are very supportive of our effort to promote the beliefs that America was founded on. Now, if you go to patriotmobile.com/Todd, that's patriotmobile.com/Todd, you're going to be able to find out all sorts of great information about Patriot Mobile. You can check their coverage. You can also take advantage of some incredible offers by using my promo code, Todd, T-O-D-D. They're going to give you free activation. They're going to give you a free gift. And if you're a veteran or a first responder, well, they're going to give you an even bigger discount. So I want to encourage you folks, consider switching over to Patriot Mobile and start supporting America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. We'll be right back. Coming up on tomorrow's Todd Stearns Show, as we continue our coverage here at West Coast Baptist College, you're going to be able to hear from some conservative college students that are from California fighting the good fight out here. That's going to be a great time coming up on tomorrow's program. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Steve in Central Arkansas on the line. Steve, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. It came to me listening to you talk about the pay of our soldiers. This will tell you a lot. A soldier who pledges his life to protect Americans and fight for us is at the low pay scale of our government. Who's at the highest pay scale of our government? Somebody that it may end up being proven that he's the kingpin of a group with their so-called gain-of-function research cost a million American lives. So what does our government put the most value at? Somebody that's killing Americans or somebody that's saving Americans?
It's a great question you raised there, my friend, and that is something that we need to be talking about. Again, why are we paying, Anthony Fauci making what? Well over $400,000 a year. That's just the government salary, the taxpayer salary. Lord knows he's probably making more money than that. But again, my point, Steve, why are the military personnel the lowest paid people on the government dole? Why is that?
My every company I ever worked for, your pay was based on your value to the company. Apparently our government doesn't place much value at protecting us.
By the way, Steve, appreciate the call. By the way, speaking of that, over the weekend, there were three or four more perfectly healthy teenage, college-age athletes that either dropped dead or had heart attacks. And there was one kid in the Memphis, Tennessee area, and he was competing, I believe, in Florida for some sort of a race, and the poor kid suffered a heart attack right after crossing the finish line of this race. 17-year-old kid, his name is Chris Harmon, is his name, that's the coach of the team, and the poor kid had to undergo emergency heart surgery. Unbelievable. But according to the coach, the poor kid, Gabe Higginbotham is the young man, and he wound up, he had an artery blocked and had to have a 3-hour emergency heart surgery. But you do wonder if any of this, my first question, whenever I hear these kinds of stories, my first question, was the person vaccinated? That's the question I have. So anyway, they've launched a GoFundMe page, and Grace, maybe we can find that information. We'll post that up on our live show blog. But a GoFundMe for this cross country runner, the poor kid, 17 years old, and he was in perfect physical condition, and then ups and has a heart attack. Something's not right about all of this, and you watch what's going to happen, and it will come out. But when you look at the declining birth rates, not just in America, but all over the world, you think this is just some sort of a coincidence? Folks, I'm telling you, we will discover that something very nefarious was going on with this vaccine. And by the time we figure it out, the people responsible will be long gone. But I suspect there's going to be some criminal activity surrounding these vaccines. Be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, very careful. All right, let's go to John in North Carolina, the talk station. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Nothing much, Todd. You know, I'm on the Bitter Coast, not the West Coast. So talking about the military pay and all that stuff and food stamps. Years ago, the commissary was the place of choice for our military families to buy. That is no longer true. I remember back in days, there was an advertisement in the local little mullet wrapper that showed the commissary prices for like six cans of corn for $1, where my local grocery store was only 3 cans for $1. There was some type of ruling by somebody like maybe the comptroller or somebody years ago back in the 90s that the commissaries were starting to shut down, not having the lower prices for our military. That is where our young E1 through E6 or 7 can really go and buy food for their families at a reasonable rate and don't feel like they have to pitch the penny too tight or go to get food stamps.
Yeah, I'm with you here. And again, the issue I have is, are we, even if you had those commissaries and the on the military bases, you know, is that going to be enough money for these families, for a soldier to provide for his family? I mean, you're looking at, you know, even if you're making $25,000, $30,000 a year, that's not a lot of money to take care of a family on.
The reduced energy rates for electricity, I remember the gas pumps on the base were at least 10 cents to a dollar, 20 cents lower back when it was only $1.50 off base. You know, the on base price was cheaper. I was a civil servant for a little while after my military days. So I remember the prices were lower. So if the prices on base is a lot lower for those people where their money goes farther, it's fine. But if you're going to pay people according to what they're worth or whatnot, remember, the average military person doesn't put in a 40-hour a week on their job. When I was at sea, unlike that one guy said he was 12 on, 12 off, well, I was 6 on, 6 off in the daylight sit. I had to work also in my steam room, fire room.
Well, John, we're going to have to leave it there. They're going to cut us off here with the computer. But I want to say God bless you. God bless all of our members of the military. And we got to do better. We've just got to do better. All right, folks, tomorrow, West Coast Baptist College, we'll do it all over again.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.